Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie Ashdown, comedian and writer, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies from the world of comedy, but also those that are aunties or friends, because let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired mates. Join us as we find the funny side of parenting, life, and being bloody great women.
Happy Mother's Day!
The only way to start the day or evening or afternoon, whatever you're starting, is with Liza Minnelli. Oh, darling. No, that's not really.
So, mum. Sounds like her mum. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, I've done more with Judy Garland. I'm not Judy Garland.
I'm sure Liza Minnelli is fine with being compared to her mother for her entire life. I'm sure she's fine with it. I'm sure that hasn't sort of ended in any kind of destructive behaviour.
The voice you can hear there is Gemma Beagley.
Hi.
My voice is Hattie Ashdown. In case you wondered what would happen, you are listening to the Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio, and that is Liza Minnelli's version of Losing My Mind. And we're all losing our minds going, wait a minute, isn't this Pet Shop Boys? There's different versions of that song. There's like it's originally from a stage show. And that's how I remember it. It's much slower. You know, I never heard it. Oh,
no, I've only ever heard
it. It's from a musical, and I've forgotten the name of the musical. And it's so powerful. It's like, if you're heartbroken, oh my good God, that is the song that you want. I basically had it on repeat when I was heartbroken once. The sun comes up, I think about you. It's like that.
Right.
A coffee cup, I think about you. I mean, what they're doing with the coffee cup. I don't know why that coffee cup is making them think.
Well, a coffee cup is quite, I'm going to Back for Good. Got your lipstick mark still on your coffee cup.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe it's just quite a thing to remind you of somebody.
Yeah, and people always say, like, when you lose someone, they go, oh, I went to get two mugs out to make them tea and they weren't here. They're not here. It's just one mug now. Sorry, Jim.
Don't know what upbeat start.
Upbeat start. How are you all?
How do you cope with your heartbreak?
Yeah.
Dial in.
Well, it was Valentine's a little while ago. These people have been listening in March, of course. No, in April you'll be listening.
Yeah.
We're approaching April. And we're a bit distracted by there being breakfast in where we are recording today. And now all we're doing is looking, going, I want a bit of that breakfast. What are you eating? What are you drinking? Are you drinking out of your favourite mug? Anyway, what we're going to do today, in case you're listening, thinking, what is going on? We don't know. We're going to have a little catch-up, just me and Gemma, because we think that, you know, it's nice every couple of shows for you to just find out what we're doing. Nothing to do with the fact that we didn't have any guests booked today. Nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that, Gemma.
Nope. No, this was a choice. This was a clear, strategic decision.
We did have a wonderful guest, but she's moved to next month, and I'm not going to say what it is. It's exciting. But, so, we're going to have a little catch-up. I've got so much to catch up on, but obviously you don't want to hear about all of that. We want to talk about what Gemma's been up to.
Oh, okay. Well, today is a tube strike, and the weather outside is absolutely perfect for either queuing for a bus that isn't coming or walking through London. And I'm being sarcastic. It's very wet and drizzly today. Great walk, rubbish weather.
Oh,
it's a real shame. But there you go. So that's what I've been up to. That's the meat. That's like hot off the press. That's what I've been up to. Otherwise, in terms of being a mum, I was thinking this morning.
Mum update.
I just seem to be in a constant state of rushing.
Yes.
I was rushing. I'd left late. Left for the school run late, and I was rushing. And last night, picking up from after school, I just seemed to be in this constant state of rushing, and it's annoying me.
Yeah,
I just want to not be out of breath. just for one day, not be out of breath. It's just, and I don't know if it's bad planning or what. You know, I've been doing the school run for kind of 2.5 years now.
Stop running, it's the first thing.
Yeah.
School walk. We all need to reframe it as the school walk.
Are you rushing? Like, I just seem to rush all the time. And no. I hate being rushed.
Well, we talked a bit about this last month, a little bit. I don't know if it was on air or off air, but how we learned nothing from the lockdown in 2020 when we were like, yeah, all we've learned is that we need to slow down. And I feel like we've all just gone back full pelt, like, because we can do things now, like, oh, let's have all the kids. I was hoping that people, like, things like kids parties, people would slow down a bit on, and like having to do so much for your kids, like, I mean, obviously the essentials, feed them and all that, but I mean, like, I just feel like the people around me just go crazy, you know, and I just feel like they've gone full pelt. So what I mean is, like, particularly with the clubs, like, I keep trying to meet up with a friend. So, oh, let's hang out with the kids. And everyone's gone full pelt into the clubs, like gymnastics, football, dance.
Swimming. Maths maestro.
Morris dancing. You know.
And pole dancing.
And, you know, obviously, I'm a bit jealous because I can't afford to put my kids in all those clubs. And I just think, like, oh, and are they having a great time? Who's having a great time? The mums are rushing about, or the dads, you know, and it's like, oh, dad cabs and whatever, rushing about. Do the kids really enjoy it? You know, like, I just, yeah, that's been, and I have to sort of stop myself from feeling guilty because we only do, like, one club.
Mm,
that's it. They go drama on a Sunday. I can't afford anymore. I don't know how people afford it.
I agree. And we have spoken about this because we've spoken about clubs before. Yeah. But about how when I was a kid, I didn't do any clubs. I did none because, I mean, to be fair, it's because I didn't really want to. But so it was a choice. But I know what you mean. Alistair is now into football. He's now doing football training.
Great.
On a Friday night. He plays the match on Sunday. And they're going to go twice a week training now. And we did a sponsored litter pick on Saturday. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I love a litter pick. So it was fine. It was like a pleasurable pursuit for me. But it's like, oh, we've got to do this and there's this. And you have to show your commitment to the club. And it's like, oh, God. Like, it's just, right. It's a lot. And I kind of, yeah. You know, and actually it's really reasonably priced. So it's not the money. But it is just this kind of like, oh, right, okay. You know, and he's getting home on a Friday, like 7:30, and it's just.
But he's enjoying it, though.
Oh, he loves it.
I mean, and that's the other thing. They say, like, the age of 6, 7 is when kids really start to learn things. That's why you often see, like, they learn to ride their bike at that age, and it all really clicks. Things start to. So my thing is, like, anyone that sends them off at, like, 4 or 5, it's like, you don't really need to. They're not really going to remember any of that unless, obviously, they are sort of like some kind of gymnastic genius and they're doing little backflips.
Well, then it's for you, isn't it? It's not for the kids. Which is fine, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Which is fine. And I'll be honest, when I put my oldest into the drama club, it was a little bit for me because... But only in the sense that his speech wasn't great and I thought it would help with that. But also I was thinking... That's what I would have loved my mum to have done, to put me in a drama club.
Precariously living for your child, yeah.
But as it worked out, he absolutely loves it. It's the one thing that if we haven't been for a while and he goes, when am I next going? You know, the little one, we put the little one in the same club, like younger version. So far, he's not taken to it as much. And maybe he's a different personality and we've just got to try and find something else. But because his older brother sees him and he goes, sometimes he has to walk through to go to the toilet or something. And he goes, oh yeah, I saw Buster walk through to go to the toilet. I gave him a kiss.
Which
is so cute. And he goes, I said, what was he doing? He goes, he was just laying down. I said, was everyone else laying down? No. So, yeah, I don't know.
Really well spent money, yeah.
But we get an hour and a half to go and have a coffee. But I would love more things where I'm sort of taking them to it and I get to actually spend time with them. Because the thing is, and this is not a downer on anyone that does this, because I am going for a process. And if anyone's following on our Instagram page, Funny Mummies, is that I've been trying to do less screen time. Not no screen time, just I picked up this book. I felt like it was screaming at me in the library, called Calmer, Easier, Happier Screen Time by Joel Janice Norton. And some of it's a bit... All right.
Is that available on Kindle?
Probably. it is a process, and she generally says that you shouldn't have any more than they should an hour a day of any screen time. But I do think that some of the clubs is people feeling a little bit like guilty about all the thing. Oh, well, at least we're out of the house. They're not on there playing their games. They're not on the screen. But you're not spending time with them either is my problem. Because I'm like, I just sort of feel a bit guilty if I'm not spending time with them. But then if I'm spending time with them, they're driving me mad. So we're just never happy.
Right.
I lost you there. I felt like just went off.
I did go somewhere else. So give us an update then.
I'm still entertaining my friend, isn't it?
Give us an update. How are you going?
I'm going to line up a song in a minute. What, on the screen time? So I was doing the thing of like 3 weeks, because I say it takes 3 weeks, I think, to
form a habit. Yeah.
So I did that. And yeah, it is hard, but you just have to be strong. And what I've taken from the book is little bits from it. And that's the thing with everything. It's like when your baby's sleep training or whatever, you just take what you need from it, don't you? And I'm like, so like little mantras I keep telling myself, because I think we all have got into this habit. Like even since I was young, you know, my mum would go, oh, you know, chill, you know, if you want to chill out and watch it. We've got this notion that like watching telly is chilling out and stuff like that. Well, she says that it doesn't actually really refresh them. So we get it into our head that it's almost like a job they've got to clock into, like, oh, well, have this certain amount of time on the iPad or playing the games. And I think there is a difference between when playing games and just mindless scrolling on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the mindless scrolling on YouTube is something that is a new phenomenon, yeah. I think.
Because it is made to be addictive. Yep. So... And you know, she talks about lots of things with like, then it affects their attention span and stuff like that. And anyway, so how's it going? I'm doing it. It's still hard, and it's always, but it is like a massive win when, like, because I had goals. So my goal was that every time we come in the door, as soon as we come in the door, they mention it. Like straight away. And that might not bother anyone else, but it bothered me. And that's the thing, isn't it? It's what bothers you. And so now they don't always. So I'm like, yes. It's like tiny little wins, and set yourself little goals. So at the moment, my thing was I didn't want it to be the first thing they said when they came home from school. So we have like an hour when they come home and they can do anything, but not any screen time. And they're normally fine for about half an hour, and then they sort of start to go, oh, can I go on the iPad? And I say no. And an annoying thing that happens though sometimes is because like the little one can't tell time. God, come on. 3 years old. I have to set the little, you know, timer thing. Yeah. But this is what happened yesterday. Was I said, okay, we've got another half hour. And then we set the timer, and then we got into like colouring and stuff, and it was lovely. But then the flipping timer went off, and it went, oh yeah, that's what I'm into. I'm going to do that. But I still need to do the dinner. So yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't work for everyone, because if you are really, really, I am busy as well, but I realise I'm sort of what, okay, class as part-time working mum, I guess. If you are full-time like yourself, I don't know if it is possible, because literally at the moment, I will say there are a lot of dinners being burnt.
Yeah.
Because of the time that they would have come in and then I do the dinner. But hopefully in the long run, what it's proven is that they can self-entertain themselves without an iPad. And that is what's starting to happen. They're getting really into their Lego. Huxley's been making comics, drawing and
I tell you what, just when you say Lego there, that I wonder... When we were kids, was the thing of, they're spending too much time playing Lego and they should be reading, or I don't know. Do you know what I mean? I wonder what the complaint was when we were kids, and I wonder if, was it TV? But then TV was it was different though, wasn't it? Because it was between this time and then Neighbours would come on, and then that's kind of adult
I don't remember any negative. Time. I remember Mum just think it was brilliant. Like she'd just be like... Oh, we're not, like, you know, I don't know, I'd be watching Bagpuss or something, I'm really showing my age now. And she's like, oh, we're not good, you know, or she'd just think it was amazing. And, and like you say, it would just be on for half an hour and that was it. But yeah I can't remember what the equivalent, that's a good one, isn't it? If anyone can think of one, comment below. What would be in like the 80s and 90s, what would be the equivalent of like, oh, you're just... Well, your brain.
I remember the computer games thing happening in the 90s where it was just, you know, with all these... When PlayStation came out, and this is probably after our time, but and all these quite grown up games with pimps and prostitutes in them and stuff like Grand Theft Auto and that, you know, where it's just like, oh, kids are becoming violent because of computer games. That was the thing.
But you had the little handheld Game Boy things. Yeah. And obviously, like, I didn't have a terribly sexist family, really. But it was all girls and we didn't have, well, no one was interested
they
in
were
that.
Expensive as well.
Was they? Yeah, yeah, I think my neighbour's boy had one. And
it was stuff. only the rich kids had them in my school. Yeah.
But again, it was like you played a game.
Yeah.
It didn't take you anywhere else. And the trouble is when they're on iPads or their phone,
I think
it takes you somewhere else.
YouTube and, well, I mean, we're talking about YouTube here, aren't we? They're not there shopping, are they? Not on Amazon shopping like you and me are. It is that YouTube thing. And damn you, YouTube.
I know. And again, it is the other thing is model the behaviour. So I'm just obviously trying, you know, sometimes you look at yourself and you're going to get off the screen. You realise I'm just on the phone. I'm like, right, I'm having to like make sure I'm on the phone. Anyway, Gemma, let's do our new little item, which I don't know what it's going to be called yet, but probably something like, what'd you say? Because that's something my 3-year-old keeps saying at the moment. What?
I don't know. I was just thinking I didn't ask for, I'm trying to think the last time I asked for advice from Alistair.
Oh, we haven't got that bit, but this is a what'd you say? The lyric thing, because we were talking about crazy lyrics.
Yeah.
So let's just listen to a little bit of this and then I'll stop it. Here we go. Okay, did you get that?
Right. So this is one that I spotted a few years ago. And if you should be evicted from your home, just move somewhere else, mate.
Just move somewhere else.
I mean, that should be the strap line for the charity shelter. You know, just move somewhere else, mate. There you go.
Got us thinking about stupid lines that just... in songs that are just so obvious. And but you were saying it reminded you of advice you'd ask you if you asked your child. Yeah. Advice.
Yeah.
And they go, well, you know, because you, when you say something about, you were saying to Al about like, what if we can't pay the mortgage or something, but somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Get someone else to pay it. I remember my niece saying to me, I'd put on a bit of weight, and I said, you know what, I'm getting, and this is, you know, and this is a sign of the times, by the way. So I wouldn't ever say this now, but you know, so I've put on, you know, put on a lot of weight. I don't think John will want to kiss me soon, you know. And she said, well, I'll just get, someone who likes to kiss fat women. There you go.
But they just tell it how it is.
Yeah, and in a way, you know what? Every so often, what's that? A stop clock is right twice a day. You know, that just kind of like, you know what? Yeah. A lot of the advice I get from my son is, don't worry about it.
Oh, do you?
Don't worry about it. It's like,
okay. Yeah.
Anything.
Is he really quite chilled then, Ali? Do you think he's going to be quite a chilled adult?
I don't know, because his dad is a very kind of panicky, anxious, worst case scenario kind of guy.
Right, okay.
So we'll see.
We'll see. Well, I think we'd like to do this as a regular thing. If you've had any sort of funny advice or weird advice from your kids, like you just, you know, maybe on purpose you ask them, or by accident you're stressing about something and you end up saying it out loud and they go, well, just do this, Mum. Tell us. We can read it out and we can make this a regular thing. It'd be quite funny. My oldest, which I could try the 3-year-old, he's just, everything at the moment is just, I'll sort that out with my factory. He's got this idea that he's going to get rich and he's going to build a factory that's going to basically answer everything. So
okay, that's something that's grandiose. I love it though.
But I don't know if I can do the advice thing with it, because he's sort of a worrier and he's so emotional at the moment, particularly. And I think that's another reason why I've been doing the less screen time, because I'm looking at all the areas. And actually, yes, what I should have said at the top is that particularly the Nintendo, I don't know if it's been good for him. I think it's, yeah, breeding a bit of anxiety and upsetness with it.
What is he... He's not talking to people online, though, or anything,
no,
is he?
No.
So what sort of games is he playing?
Nothing rough. It's just, I think he just can't... Like, if he just doesn't win, or he can't bear not winning at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I've said to Al, when I hear him growling from the other room, and I go and I say, nope, this is supposed to be fun. If it's, it doesn't sound like it's fun. If it's not, then you have to stop.
Yeah.
Fun only.
Yeah.
You know, I just, what, because it's just like, then what is the, this is supposed to be a fun thing, and you're, yeah, you're not enjoying
it. Well, you know yourself, if you're doing something that you might not be, it's not fun anymore, but you're just like, God, I'll finish this now. So there's probably, it's a bit of that, isn't there?
I don't know, I'm a bit of a, I'm not very good at seeing stuff, you know, through to the end. I'm a bit more of a,
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that surprises me.
I don't like this. Bye.
Oh, I thought you were a see-through-to-the-end type of person.
No, I will... It depends. If I have to reject somebody, then I will stay until...
Right.
Until the absolute last, until they reject me. Whereas if it is... Yeah, if it's something that's just... Yeah, then I will just... It's like, I've, like, left places. No, I don't like this. Just... Yeah, just leave.
Oh. Yeah,
What about you? Are you?
I'm quite good at, like... I don't know why that made me think of, like, you know, when you're going to, I think we've done it before, you go into a cafe or something and you literally they've sat you down and everything, and the waiter, and you just, I'm not feeling it. And
we have done that, going, oh, actually, we're not going to stay.
Yeah, yeah, I just stood up and they go, you okay? And I go, no, sorry, you're going to go. But I don't know if that's, I don't care about that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I'm just like, no, I've had too many experiences of sitting in a long restaurant and going, what are we doing? And then, yeah, so life's too short. Just say, sorry, you know, for whatever reason it is, the ambiance or I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know. God, we're going all around the houses with topics now, and I can't remember what I was originally saying. But, depends what it is. If I stick things, I like to think I stick. Well, I never used to, and I'm learning, and it's taken me to my 40s, and I wish I'd been a bit better when I was younger at sticking things. I definitely had that thing of, like, when I was getting close to getting good at something, or when I was not getting good, but, you know, getting a bit of success, and got a bit scared.
Right.
There was definitely
a bit
of that.
Yeah.
And with some recent news about, you know, going to Edinburgh Festival. I don't know why.
Say it out loud. You're like, Edinburgh. Like, you're going to Edinburgh.
I don't know why I'm saying it like, because I'm sort of scared it's going to be taken away, or you're doing the wrong thing. And what I'm trying to promote is, you know, celebrate today, you know, even if it is taken away for whatever reason. But I think in the past, when I've had, like, my brain started to already have a little bit of a, like, can you do it, because I'm going to be performing somewhere where really great people have performed, so then I'm like, oh, I'm not as great as them, and then, like, and I'm like, no, switch off that person to, like, just, well, I'll just, I'm not explaining myself, like, it's almost like a thing what I've done in the past is if I didn't perform very well, it's go, well, that's why, so I'm excusing myself.
So the venue that you have that you're really playing, it's a great venue.
Mm.
So that in the past, if you were in some back end down an alleyway somewhere on the edge of town,
no expectation.
Yeah, then you'd be like, oh, well, that's why. Whereas, you've got an opportunity of a great venue, and so it's like, right,
pressure.
I can't blame the venue if it doesn't feel right.
Yeah, but not just that. But I mean, like, my mindset going towards it. Rather than going, you can do this. You can do this. You're just as good as all those people. You can do this.
Yep.
I could creep in the older me, which I'm trying to get rid of, which is like, well, you can't really. So, and then I'll fail or not do as well as I possibly could. But I'll excuse myself because I know I didn't really try.
Mm-hmm.
God, this has gone deep and confusing.
It is. It is.
Let's have a... We could listen to the rest of Yazoo.
Yes.
Yes.
I like the Yazoo.
But we've got so many. I've got quite a few. I can't open it. Oh, great! My iPad has decided to install Spotify. What a great time for it to be updating. Let's just have the rest of it. You're listening to the Funny Mummies on Soho Radio as part of the Other Woman show. Oh, the only way is up with Yaz there. And what can I say? So we're at Soho Studios, of course, Soho Radio. And Jonathan, I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this, but who cares? Jonathan Van Ness from the Fab Five, as they're now called. That's what they're now called, aren't they? It's not just
Queer Eye for a Straight Guy.
Yeah, but yeah. Now it's just Fab Five, I think. Anyway, I'm just all of a quiver because he was in here doing something fabulous downstairs. We just got a photo with him. And I feel like I need to thank Giles, who's our producer, because when I came in earlier and I said, he's like, you should totally get a picture with him if you want one. And I was like, really? And he inspired me to just like, you know, like just go for it. But I didn't even have to because he went past, we were blowing kisses at him and he said, do you want a picture? Yeah. He wanted a picture.
He wanted a picture with Hattie.
He did.
Yeah.
And me and Gemma got in there.
There we go.
And we do look like...
special.
We look like we've won a competition and we'd meet Jesus because he is beautiful and he looks like a beautiful Jesus.
Absolutely beautiful.
They are beautiful. He is a they. They are a they. Them. Oh, I'm all with a quiver.
That was really exciting.
Wasn't exciting. Isn't it funny? He's great. So yeah, he's over here. Probably by the time this comes out, he's going all over. And I'm obsessed with his Instagram because he does these like gymnastics, and he can proper flip, 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 flip.
Yeah, and they're a big person.
Yeah, like not just. And also, I love that he's not, you know, tiny. Oh yeah, I'm obsessed with him, and so that's made my year really.
Wow.
So have you ever met anybody or like, you know, because I do have quite a few stories, but people have different opinions. Like, oh, I don't want to disturb them. And me and Giles were saying, like, I think if they're like having dinner and you're, you know, in a cafe or restaurant, you think, oh, look, don't disturb them. But I think if it's someone you really, really like and you'll feel terrible about yourself if you didn't say, do you know what? I love what you do.
Yeah.
Then do it. But what do you think, Gemma? Do you think it depends who it is and what they do?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it does. But I, look, you know, I am all for, I've spent years now kind of soul searching and it, like, it is, what was it? Was it you that posted it about success? You can't have success without happiness. That success follows happiness.
Success is doing what you enjoy, I think I put. I was having a deep day. I can't remember.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know.
What? So you wouldn't speak to anyone? Have you ever spoke to anyone famous?
Well, I'm a bit. I remember when I was absolutely. It was funny. It was 20 years since Pop Idol, and me and my flatmates, we were
Gemma
absolutely
remembers these things because of a certain person. So yeah.
But well, I was absolutely obsessed with Will Young. We're absolutely obsessed with him, and. We a few times like kind of found out where he was to meet him.
Yeah,
but then you meet him and I'm just like, I don't know what I want to get out of the occasion. Do you know what I mean?
Like, oh,
I don't
know. Yeah,
what is it I want to get out of it? It's weird.
I and I guess that's the thing, isn't it? Thinking, but I always put myself in their shoes though. I like. If it was me, I would love it. I don't know if maybe if I was really famous and notes how I said really famous, like, because I'm trying to say I'm a bit famous, having years and years of it, would I still? But at the moment, if I do a show and someone comes up to me, oh my God.
Yeah.
So appreciate it. And people forget this. I think when you're a comedian, you're putting yourself up there, they just think, oh, you know you're good or you know you're funny. Absolutely not. I have an existential crisis about it every day. So it's awful. But I do, you know, really, really appreciate when people say well done.
I remember chasing Kerry Godliman up the street. As it means, you know, I'm a huge fan. and it was when I was doing stand-up. And she was on locally to me. And I went to see her. And I chased her up the street. And I said, I just want to say that I'm just a huge fan. Like I love you. So no, actually, I know.
Yeah. So you
and,
have.
And I said, you know, and I said, I saw you. This is the first time I saw you, and you were kind of one of the people that inspired me to get into stand up because I related to you so much, and yeah. I was just like. Look at, she's, you know, she's just talking and it's funny, you know. And then she was really nice back, you know. She said, great, good, we need more women doing it. Back in the days when there was hardly any women doing it, you know, and stuff. And yeah, and it was a really lovely interaction.
Yeah.
So I think, but I do wonder about that kind of mega famous, you know, if I bumped into Madonna, would she just be like, oh, God.
It's just,
oh, God, another fan.
I reckon Madonna would love it. She loves the fans. She's all about... just people loving her, isn't she? But that's the thing, isn't it? What we're scared of is that you running up to Kerry Godleman could is her going, excuse me, yeah, okay, bye. But you obviously took a chance that you see her live and you know that what you see live is what she is in real life, a version of course. We're not completely like that all the time. We don't walk into a room and start with a top jokes. Well, some people might, but it's a persona. But that's the fear, I think, is that they're not going to be. And you always hear it. Oh, well, have you heard about Stan's? Like, oh, yeah, he's horrible in real life. Yeah. You know, and it's like, poor guy. He probably just having a bit of a bad day or whatever. And it's like, I feel sorry for that. Like that responsibility to like always be, yeah, on it, and you might just been a bit tired and someone caught you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, with my new. Where I'm working.
Oh yeah, you see it all.
Yeah, well, yeah, and so, you know, if someone is really nice, you'll hear about it. Oh, they were lovely and stuff. And also, you know, we look after our artists, and so you know, we don't do a bad job at that. And so, it's surprising then when you hear that someone's being a little bit rude to my colleagues or stuff like that. And it's
who's been rude, Gemma? We all want to know now.
I don't kiss and tell.
No, of course not.
But, you know, yeah, I mean, there are. And it doesn't feel like it's a bad day. It feels like they're just horrible people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Which is a shame because you hope that horrible people aren't going to be successful.
But then is it part of who they are as well on stage or whatever there is that, you know... Yeah, some people, you know, like if you like that sort of comedy where someone is a bit...
Yeah, like Frankie Ball back in the day or something. Yeah, or Jimmy Carr, whatever. But I mean, I've met Jimmy Carr. I've never met Frankie Boyle. And you see him when he's not doing stand-up. And he seems like a really...
Normal.
Kind of, yeah. Like, I know he's a real comedy fan and, you know, he's very generous with his influence, you know, where he'll recommend people, you know.
He loves comedy. He just loves it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, I could talk for hours about the importance of just, you know, being nice in showbiz, in any form, comedy, whatever. It does go a long way. And whether that's just interactions, emails, everything. And it's hard work because you're selling yourself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You are your brand. But I know myself, being on both sides of the thing, it does just, you know, I book acts for my clubs, Screaming with Laughter, Lunchtime Comedy Club for parents where they can bring their babies. And I have to say, like, if I'm booking, especially like, so I've got my next one, which is the 9th of March, which is my birthday. I was like, I wanted to book people that I like hanging out with and who are nice. So, you know, goes without saying. But obviously there are some people that are just totally brilliant, but you're like, I don't really want to hang out with them so much, but it's worth it because they're a great act. But it doesn't make them a bad person. They're just not my person.
Yeah.
And we've all got our person. But yes, being polite gets you a long way.
It does with me. It gets you a long way with me. And I think, and I don't consider myself particularly unusual or sensitive. So, you know, if I I'd hope that, you know, the people who have the influence are, you know.
Well, Jonathan Van Ness was bloody lovely.
Book him.
Well, I will book him. He can come and do this podcast.
We'll break our own mother rules or women rules.
We've broken it many times before. We break it for...
There are our own rules.
Jonathan. Let's start to wrap up soon.
Yes.
And let's have a little songy, as I like to call. I'm really annoyed that I keep putting my son's date of birth as my password on my... It was a way of remembering my son's date of birth. I've only got two children, but I still forget their flipping date of birth. I thought I'd play this because we was talking about a few weddings coming up this year, and I've DJed at different weddings. Mm-hmm. But to be honest, a lot of the time it's been my present. I go, hey, I'll DJ for you. Great. Same people to get them a present. And I remember one wedding, I played this and did not think about the lyrics or anything at all. I just thought, oh yeah, they like a bit of punk, I'll play this. But I didn't play this version, I played the Clash version, but I'm gonna play the La Butcherette version. Ever fallen in love with someone you shouldn't have fallen in love with? Natural emotions making me feel I'm dead and I'm hurt. Yet if I start a commotion, I run the risk of losing you. And that's worse. That's worse. Gets worse. Yes, I did play that at my friend's wedding, and it didn't last. So I was right.
Well,
so
they did fall in love with someone ever.
They shouldn't have fallen in love with. Totally, it was a toxic relationship, and he will admit that. And he married again, and now he's happily ever after. So get me to DJ at your wedding.
It will work out good in the end,
and I can to be like Mystic Meg.
Yeah, you've got like a magic power. you can play songs that relate to how it's going to happen.
But now what they do is my husband he's going to the wedding reception. I'm not invited. He hasn't got a plus one.
He goes to a lot of weddings, your husband.
I know.
He?
It's because he's younger than me, right. And like my age group, they're all given. You know, they're not bothering, giving up, or they're getting divorce parties. And he's going to a few weddings, yeah. And but they're doing that thing now where they ask you to recommend a track,
right,
to put on the playlist. I don't. And of course, as a DJ, it makes me very angry because I'm like, how can you get the vibe of the evening? The point is, you put a track on, and then you're like, okay, yeah, they're all loving this, and yeah, and you put another one on. How can they get the
vibe?
Sorry,
when I get this, it annoys me. It really annoys me.
Right.
Do you want me to suggest what flowers to get? Do you want me to suggest what we have for dinner? Why don't you pay somebody, an actual DJ that knows what they're doing, to host the evening? It really
annoys
absolutely,
me.
Absolutely. It makes me, look, as you can hear, it makes me very cross.
Yeah. Well, it's not just that for me. It's obviously doing someone out of a job, but also, it's clearly, these are not, if they're like really, really skint, I get it, right? But a lot of the time it'll be quite an elaborate wedding, but they've gone on the priority of things. Oh, that's a low priority. When actually we all know in the evening, oh my God, it becomes a massive thing. And what happened to another wedding we went to when we had to do that? And we recommended The Power of Love. Come
Jennifer
on.
Rush?
Yeah. No.
Well, no. Huey Lewis and the News.
Huey Lewis one. Yeah. And it came on a couple of seconds and someone just went, not even anyone in the media wedding party, just went, nah, skipped it. Went up to the laptop and skipped it. And we were like, because enough people weren't dancing or something.
Right.
But
right.
I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. So I'm not a fan of this, but that's why I was talking about that. And I was like, yeah, well, if they want me to DJ, I'm available at a price. So we're going to wrap up now. Gemma's going to tell us what's on Soho Theatre.
Soho Theatre in April. Okay, my top picks are we have String v Spitter between 6th to the 16th of April. This is their third outing, I believe, at Soho Theatre.
Wow.
So this is it's a reenactment of a child's party.
Oh.
So they're child entertainers. One is a posh boy and one is a kind of cool urban guy. So the comedy comes from them two hosting this party.
Okay.
So that's fun. That's on in April. We've also got, there is a family there's a family show called Nick Cope's Family Show.
Oh.
That is nearly
I
sold
out. I love Nick Cope.
That's nearly sold out. I'm hoping that they're going to stick another couple of days.
I would come to that.
I'm going to get in. I'll fight someone.
We play his soundtrack all the time.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Tidy up and put it away.
There we go. So him.
Anyway.
And then also another shout out to Deborah Frances White, the Guilty Feminist Stands Up. So she's been running this show for a little while. So it's Deborah rather than the Guilty Feminist podcast.
Yes, I've heard Jess. I know Jess, we're a friend of the show, Jessica Foscue. We had a lovely train journey back the other week and she said it's brilliant. And then obviously I know she's a regular part of the Guilty Feminist, but so she's biased, but she said, honestly, I'm not just saying it, it's really good, go and see it. Because she hasn't done stand-up for a while. She's been doing the Guilty Feminist, back to it. And Deborah, if you're listening, please have me on the podcast.
She's an incredible improviser. I saw her before I started stand-up. I saw her about 15 years ago doing improv. And she just shone. She stood head and shoulders above everyone else on that stage that night.
I mean, she was standing on a stool, I heard. Yeah. But yeah.
And she is quite tall, I think.
She's very tall. what am I? And I'm sorry, but, you know, put the kettle on because now I'm going to tell you I'm doing work in progress because, yes, I'm going to Edinburgh.
Yay!
I've just got to find accommodation for the last 2 weeks. I've got it for the first half and then I'm on the streets. But apart from that, so I'm trying to do work in progress. I am doing work in progress. You'll probably miss this one, but I'm 31st of March at 2 North Down. And then I'm doing 7th of April in Brighton, the Caroline in Brunswick. And then I'm doing the 1st of May at the Bill Murray at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. You can't excuse that one. That's a good one to come to, especially if you've got kids. Give them to your other half or leave them outside with a can of Coke and a packet of crisps. yes, maybe I'll do some previews in the future where I have a little crèche type situation. Oh, I'm going to think about that. Somebody who could look after the kids. Maybe I'll ask Caroline at Peace and Riot. We could do something where I do a show in one room and then people's kids get looked after in the other room. Ideas.
Write that down.
Thank you, Gemma. It's been lovely. I feel absolutely full of love and laughter.
That's brilliant.
For the rest of the day. Thank you very much to you. Cool. Please keep sharing and telling people and give us feedback. And yeah, let us know if your kids have given you any silly advice. We want to hear that. I've been Hattie Ashdown.
And Gemma Beagley.
Thank you. Bye.
Oh.
You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown. Thank you to my panel and guests today. Edited and produced by Scott Kingsnorth in association with Screaming of Laughter, the lunchtime comedy club where babies can come too. These shows go out live on Soho Radio for the Other Woman show. See schedule for details. Please subscribe, rate and review and share this podcast. We really appreciate it and it's the only way more people can find us. So see you next time for more Mum and Tonic.